I was listening to his testimony through the filter of the Tree of Life. I'll let Tori give you all the details, but coming from a non-church, non-Christian home and background, encountering Christ, and then finding a life-giving church made all the difference for him. It changed the course and direction of his life. I'm just curious, you may know something about Tori, even though you haven't heard his name before. How many know of Focus on the Family? Anybody heard of Adventures in Odyssey? Okay, if you're a parent, yeah, Adventures in Odyssey. Well, Tori is the guy who writes those episodes. Okay, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We've got celebrity here. No, just kidding. And other writing projects that he's involved in. He's got things coming out just this year, HBO and other outlets. But it was all because of a life-giving pastor and pastor's wife and a life-giving church, the people in the church that nurtured the gift that Tori didn't even know he had. And the Tree of Life brought that to life. And I thought it'd be good for us to hear, because I want New Life Assembly of God to be a Tree of Life church. I want to be a Tree of Life people. I want you to just see one example of what that can produce. So Tori, why don't you come, give us your story, your testimony today. Would you welcome him as he comes today? Bless you.
Good morning. Wow, you guys really filled up from the morning service. Golly. All right, I'm just going to start with prayer because I need it, and I would like you to join me. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for using me in spite of myself. I ask that you would bring my ADHD under your control, under your authority. Help me not to go down any bunny trails, unless they're really interesting bunny trails populated with unique-looking rabbits. I just ask that you would equip me and be my strength and give me favor with people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. People scare me. They do. I don't even like them. I mean, I like you guys. You guys are the only ones that I like. I'm just going to start by telling you a little bit about my story. I shared it this morning, so I'm kind of bored with it already, but when I was in high school, I was the most socially awkward kid you could even imagine. I had to wear special shoes in grade school. You know, my feet were pigeon-toed, so I had to wear the little brace shoes to walk straight. Anytime I tried to walk or run, I would hit my feet, drop and fall. I was not a good student. I had ADHD. They didn't know what ADHD was. I was overweight. I was just a hot mess. They didn't know what ADHD was back then. It was just a kid who could not sit still and couldn't remember the lesson from yesterday. But I knew, and I was shy and socially awkward. When I was in high school, I got the nickname Boom Boom from this guy named Biff when I was walking across the cafeteria hall. The cafeteria, I had just loaded up with my lunch. It was Spaghetti Wednesday, my favorite day of the week. I got my spaghetti, I was going across the cafeteria, and all of a sudden Biff and the rest of the people at his table started going boom, 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 and I realized they were doing it as sound effects for my steps, which embarrassed me in front of the whole cafeteria. I was sitting at the uncool kids' table, which was on the way other side of the cafeteria, so I just wanted to get there as fast as I could, so I ran with my tray, which only made it more comical, because now it's like a rapid machine gun fire. It's like boom, 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 boom. Finally sat down and I realized that I had forgotten to get my silverware. And I was either going to have to walk all the way across the cafeteria again or eat my spaghetti with my fingers, which is what I did. Later that day, after I wiped my hands on my pants because I forgot my napkins too, I was in gym. And this was back in the days of gym where they had that gym horse, the leather horse. Big thing and the springboard, and you're supposed to jump over it and land victoriously, like, look what I just did. Well, I'm scooting against the wall, and this was back when you had to wear the solid white shorts with the solid white shirt with the solid white socks and the solid white shoes, and I look like Stay Puft the Marshmallow Man against that. And as you move, there's a whole line of boys, and then the next boy would run and jump over the horse and land victoriously, and then he would become the spotter for the person who was coming next. So if they hit the side and started to fall, they could help to catch them. Well, I'm not making eye contact with anybody because everybody's my bully, and I'm scooting along, and I realize then that it's Biff who is next to me, and he was going to run and jump, and certainly he did, like a golden gazelle. He landed victoriously on the other side. He then turned and gave me the look. And I knew, he's my spotter. Please don't let him do boom boom. Please don't let him do boom boom. I wasn't even praying to God. I didn't know God. I was just praying to the universe. Please don't let him say boom boom. I started running towards it, and sure enough, boom, 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 boom. And I just panicked. I just wanted to go as fast as I could, so I just ran just to get it over with. I just hated high school, the whole thing. And I jumped on the springboard so hard that I broke the springs and sent the board sailing into up. Those boards are really sturdy. Those springs are really strong. I guess I have a gift. I hit the side of the horse after splitting that, hit the side, and I landed straight on top of Biff. Breaking his leg. Did not make me popular. He was the center of our basketball team. So, but, oh well. I did get revenge on all of them later at the 10-year reunion. I was the only person who had the same figure now that I had then. It's not saying much, but there's a lot to be said for consistency, I believe. So I was shy and socially awkward, and I didn't have any friends. I had no friends. And that's when I started smoking pot, too, because pot is an escape, and you can have all sorts of friends as long as you're the one who supplies the pot. And I knew I wanted to be an actor more than anything. Ever since I was a kid, I knew I wanted to be an actor because I wanted to be anybody but me. I wanted to think like other people. I wanted to not talk so fast. I wanted to not use my hands every time My best friend Robbie led me to the Lord. I don't see, there you go. He calls me propeller arms. He said, what you lack in vocabulary, you more than make up with excessive facial gestures and overusage of your arms. You know when you don't know the word, you know it's like that thing where the thing, and you go, and it's called the fridge story, just open it and get the milk. started acting. I started doing, I did a show for a national tour for Columbia Artists that was written by Mark Cherry, who went on to become the creator of Desperate Housewives. Do you see what I'm doing right now? I'm taking a drink. Do you want to know why? I'm thirsty. I've got to stop drinking and then answer. I forget. I just did the second interview on the Praise show with Jason Crabb over Point of Grace. I was on there and I was doing a comedy set, and I get so nervous and so afraid of people that I just start talking, and I don't wipe my mouth because I just want to hurry and get through it. I've always talked fast, and I think the reason I talk fast is because I don't feel people want to listen to me, so I'm just going to talk really fast and get out of the way to the important person who's coming next. He's going to say something smart, that guy. But why am I talking about this? I don't even know. Why was I talking about that? What was I saying? Never mind. Oh, yeah, that's why I drank. Wow, 5 minutes about why I took a sip of water, huh? Isn't ADHD like magic? So I watched that videotape, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I look like I have rabies. I dare you to look it up on UBS. It is so much white foam on both sides. It's coming down. And they kept closing it, and then they were trying to cover it by shooting, like, oh, look, here's a water bottle, a bench. Don't anything but that guy's face. What's going on? So I've got to remember to drink water, or that's going to happen. Thank you. So I moved to Alaska with Rob. I bought this book. I'm going to go back and tell you guys a little bit more. I'm just trying to get... Okay. How you doing, Steven? Good. I've enjoyed my last time here. So I'm living in Los Angeles, and my mom was the first person who became a Christian. And as soon as she became a Christian, she passed a law in the house that as long as we boys were living at home, we had to go to church one Sunday a month. So I went one Sunday a month, and I learned to fake it. You know, you can fit in with Christians. I learned to, like, tilt my head to the right, like I was really considering what the pastor was saying, or to the left, like I was in deep agreement. And really, all my inner dialogue was saying was, I wonder when the youth group goes out to Denny's afterwards, am I going to have French fries? Or onion rings? It's onion rings. I'm going to do the onion rings. That's what the inner dialogue was. I told my parents I wanted to be an actor. My mom then said, so during those years I was going to church, I didn't have a conviction from the Holy Spirit because I didn't know the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? I learned the difference between right and wrong. I had tree of knowledge information. I learned the difference between right and wrong. Told my parents I wanted to go to major in theater. My mom said, if we're going to pay for you to go to college, it's only going to be a Christian college. Well, aren't you clever, mother? But then I'll choose the college 7 miles from Disneyland and 11 miles from the ocean, because I ain't no idiot. And that's what I did. Went to college in Costa Mesa, California, spent most of my time at Disney World. Then I was doing that, and I got cast in that tour show for Columbia Artists. I started performing at the Comedy Store. I started getting a lot of drug problems. And the thing about going to church all those years and learning about right and wrong is guilt. Those guilt feelings, when you're doing everything you want to Monday through Saturday and you have to go to church on Sunday, guilt's a killer. It's like I feel like I have to apologize to Monday through Saturday for Sunday. Opposite. I just was playing. Bought this book in Los Angeles that said that marijuana was legal in Alaska, and I thought, ooh, that'll solve the problem because now I can smoke pot without the guilt. I could be a pot-smoking Christian. So I loaded up the camper, and we moved to Alaska, and my best friend Rob, who's the person who led me to the Lord, and I moved to Alaska, and it was only coming through the Canadian border that we realized that book was 9 years old, and in the meantime, they had illegalized marijuana. Now you guys are back, so hi. I tell people, never change a book, your life, for a book that costs a quarter unless it's the Bible. It's a good chance it went on a date. Going to church, Bible college, legal marijuana, gold mining, I'm sorry. How could somebody get lost in their own story? ADHD. Moved to Alaska with Rob, and I told you Rob was a safecracker. Have I told you guys that part yet? No? Yes? Yeah, no. Okay, Rob worked up here at that time for a company called Mosler. Now he works for a company called Diebold. And anything that makes a bank is what Rob does. If an ATM breaks down anywhere, he's the guy who goes and fixes it. He's a professional safecracker, is what he is. That's what he is. And my parents think of him as their third son. I met Rob 23 years ago on Easter Sunday when I went to my parents' church for that one. Not crazy. And he's a professional safecracker. My parents like to think they have three sons. My brother is a pastor of an Assembly of God church in Washington State. They say, we have a pastor, an actor, and a safecracker. So we can rob a bank, act innocent, and get forgiven. So I moved to Alaska, and the first thing I did was a commercial for Budweiser beer. There was a Budweiser beer commercial. I did two of them. And KTBY was looking for a new host of the kids show, and they saw the Budweiser commercial, and I thought, that guy's really funny. Why don't we have him, the beer guy, host the kids show, and only in Alaska? I'm selling beer every day of the week, and it's the same guy who's hosting the kids show? Welcome to a Budweiser Thursday, kids. And then it took me 4 months of hosting that show to find out that I don't like kids. I didn't know. I don't like them. I can't stand them. They're loud and dirty and they're noisy and they're demanding and they want all of your attention and we are too similar to get along. You're going to have to go, kid. So then I found out about this church. I asked the ranger for a good church. I was working as a campground host at the time for Alaska State Parks as a floating campground host, which means anytime another campground host wanted to go on vacation, we would fill in for them. We started off out at Bird Creek. Excuse me. Sorry. I don't know half the time what I'm saying anyways. You know that. And he said, well, there's a red church. I was like, where's the church? He didn't even go to church. He goes, I don't know anything about church, but I drive by this big red church every day on the way up to the ranger station. I was like, oh. So I looked at the red church. And that night, Rob and I had been praying. We'd been trying a couple churches in Anchorage as we moved along, but we didn't find anything that was a good match for me. I didn't feel like I really belonged. You know what I mean? I mean, look at me. When you look at me, the first word that pops into your mind isn't Christian. It isn't. It's like junk collector, I don't know, Canadian writer, out of shape aerobics instructor. I don't know. So I told Rob that night when we came home from work, we're at the campground, I'm around picking up moose droppings and stopping at campsites. I'm like, if you find any moose droppings, can you just pick them up and bring them down to my trailer for me, or come and notify me and I'll come and pick them up. And they're like, wow, this is the neatest, tidiest campground house I've ever seen. I'm like, no, I'm making jewelry back of the house, man. I don't care about that. I just don't like pick it up. I want you to bring it to me. And so I was making jewelry out of that. And at the same time, I was making trail cookies for the hikers. I would bake them and sell them 2 for $5. Trey House, they were better than Mrs. Fields, I think. And I was making money there, too. And one night, Rob came home, and likes the cookies, and I'm in the camper, and cookies wafted out. Somebody had just dropped off the moose droppings that they had picked up. I thanked them with some cookies. Take the cookies out. Rob's like, oh, wow, nice cookie, fresh cookies. I'm taking them off. And then I took the droppings, and I put them right on the cookie sheet, and I stuck them right back in the oven. And Rob was like this with the cookie. Are you using the same cookie sheet on the moose droppings as you are on the cookies? I'm like, yeah, but I wipe it off after the cookies so I don't get anything on the moose droppings. Set the cookie down, and the next day, I got a new cookie sheet. I only use it on my moose droppings because that's where the money is. He still got the old one. It's so hard doing two services, isn't it? Because you can't remember what you shared and what you didn't. So it's a hit and miss. Sort of like my driving skills. thank you. Write that down. And I'm going to this church, and we met Pastor Aiken. It was a Wednesday night. I smell like moose droppings and messy, and Rob told Rob there's this red church. He goes, well, let's just go tonight. It was Wednesday night. I'm like, I don't want to go just now like this. He's like, if that's the church we're supposed to go to and God uses a ranger to park it out, then let's go find out. If not, we'll keep looking. I'm like, fine. Load it up, get there. Service was great. Wednesday night, that's where all the real Christians are there. It's a real small group, and he's just preaching and teaching, and I love that. Then after Pastor Aiken got done, we're sitting in the back row because we don't know anybody. We're newcomers, you know, whatever. He came back and stopped and talked to us. But not only did he stop and talk to us, a greeting like this, but then he sat down in front of the chair in front of us and turned sideways and still kept talking to us. And everybody else is leaving, but we had 15 minutes with Pastor Aiken. How does that happen? You know what I mean? I'm like, we didn't look like we were big tithers. I mean, you know what I mean? He wasn't looking like, oh, here comes some money. I'm going to be talking to these guys and loosen their wallets. It wasn't that at all. It's like, oh, these guys are going to cost us. Might as well introduce myself. And he became my friend. And just that one moment where he brought life to me, the person who always felt secluded, never fit in, didn't have any friends, didn't have anything, tree of knowledge, guilt, good, bad, no conviction. Conviction, suddenly I'm a Christian after Rob and then Pastor Aiken, and it was a new world. It was a new world. I was a new person, and I was being treated like one by someone who I respected. So we started going to his church, found out that his wife Anne taught precept Bible study ministries, which is when you do original, you know, Greek and Hebrew word studies. And I still, even though I became a Christian, now I'm a Christian, I still had doubts. You know what I mean? you still have doubts because you still like sin and you still kind of want to out. So you're going to kind of look for one, a loophole anywhere there might be one. Because I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay on this straight and narrow. It's really straight and look at these hips. So I thought, well, if I can disprove the Bible, then I can get rid of the guilt, even now that I'm a Christian, if there's some way that this isn't going to add up, then I can do whatever I want still. I'll take that precept course, the original Greek and Hebrew. I try to disprove the Bible there, because they're mainly women, and it'll be easy, because how smart are women? So I'll go, turns out they're real smart. Real smart. K. Arthur is one of the smartest. Going through that study with this group of women, they would not let me get away with anything. Like, oh no, Tori. Ah! And correct me on stuff. And I found out doing the original Greek and Hebrew word studies that my plan backfired. It actually brought me deeper into relationship. The more time I spent in the Word of God, the more time I spent studying it, studying each word, the more convinced I was that every word is in there for a reason, and that God hasn't changed his mind on anything. No social whatever, God's opinion on those issues, on abortion, on everything else, still the same. Sorry. So I then knew, after I got to know more about who I was truly serving, see, there's a difference between believing and following. Believing is easy. Accepting Christ, I think, is easy. Following? That's different. Yeah, it's hard. And I often, in my new book, this new book, I just laid it all out there. It's not even out for another week, and I'm terrified because I talk about why is being a Christian so hard for me and so easy for others. I don't get that. So either you all are not being real honest, or I'm a hot mess. And we know that, isn't it? Thank you. I encourage you to read it because I came to a good conclusion. That whole book was so different from what it started out to be, and I just finished it up here 3-4 months ago when I came back to Alaska on an emergency retreat because I was dealing with some serious issues and depression, and I didn't want to write anymore, I didn't want to act anymore, I didn't want to do anything because I didn't like the entertainment industry that I was in, even though it was populated with Christians. It's still a business. So anyways, I don't know why I told you about that, but there you go. So, what? Oh, yeah, you're welcome. So, I knew that other people, when they accepted the Lord all those years I went to church, they would get really excited about just being a brand new Christian, and then they would start sharing their faith with anyone and everyone they met, and sometimes they would get the information wrong, and it would be really embarrassing. I knew that I had more potential to bring more embarrassment to Jesus with that zeal but lack of knowledge than anybody else. And because I knew that about myself, I spent the next 2 years, and I knew that acting was my first love because I wanted to be anybody other than myself. I wanted to be, when you act, you get the lines written for you, you come across as intelligent, you get applause at the end of a scene. Who doesn't want applause when they walk in and out of a room? I'm an insecure hot mess. That's the only place I got any positive reinforcement, you know? I knew that I had more ability to embarrass Jesus than anybody else, so because my agent kept sending me out on auditions and I had short hair, you have to look just like your picture. If you have short hair and your agent sends that picture out to a casting director, when you show up, you better have short hair and look just like that picture, because if you don't look like that picture, that casting director is calling your agent and saying, why did you send to somebody who doesn't even look like their picture? I told my agent, I've got to take 2 years off, and she's like, no, because I'm making her money. And she would not stop sending me out on audition. So, this happened. This is not a rebellious thing, I'm gonna be cool. It's not that at all. It was 2 years of not acting and wanting to be taken serious about what I was doing with God. And what I found out is I'm doing the coffee shops, doing my inductive Bible study there, and this made me more approachable to non-Christians. And I was like, maybe I'm supposed to look like this. Pretty hot, like an overweight Fabio. Seriously, if I had a fan right now, y'all blow at the same time. All right, you're missing out. It's good. So my church decided that it was time after 2 years for me to start using my talents for the Lord. And Janie Downing, who was our church secretary, had heard about this great competition called Christian Artists, which is where Mark Lowry was discovered, Michael W. Smith, Point of Grace, Amy Grant, Keith Green, they all got their start there. And it's a national competition for singers and musicians and actors and writers. And they decided that I should go and compete. And I'm living in a remote cabin. You guys don't know this. I'm living in a remote cabin in Bear Valley with an Incinillate toilet. Do you guys know what an Incinillate toilet is? An Incinillate toilet is what all the remote cabins use. It's an electric toilet. You put this paper in, do your business, drop the seat, you press this pedal, it drops down inside it, you turn a dial, and it burns. It turns into a fine ash. And then once a week, you would empty the ashes. We always emptied ours in the garden. Our cabbages were like this big. We didn't eat them, though. But I did make homemade sauerkraut for the relatives I didn't like for Christmas. I don't care, I'm in Alaska, what are they gonna do? So I wrote this monologue about the Papa G's toy shop and how he didn't get along with the Santa Suit for the Savior doll, and he was a Harry for the Hippie One doll, and they didn't get along, but Papa G creates every toy differently so they can reach different toys. Does that make sense? Like the toys that Santa Suit the Savior was going to get sent out to go help bring in, to bring in a tree of life for the other toys, was people like Santa Suit for the Savior. The Harry the Hippie for the Holy One brought in a different type of crowd. And they didn't really get along, but they learned that they're each uniquely gifted because they have different responsibilities that they're supposed to fulfill in the body of Christ. And it's supposed to be that way. Ended up winning the grand prize. I'm staying in the YMCA, thanking them, my church sent me, but I didn't. I ended up winning the grand prize and getting, I'm in the back room, in the green room, with Point of Grace. They're about to introduce me to the stage. Me, from an Alaska cabin with an Incinillate toilet and four single women. And my social awkwardness. And the only thing I can think to say is, yeah, you're from Alaska? I'm like, yeah, I've got a cabin with an Incinillate toilet. Do you know what that is? It's like an electric toilet where you put this paper in, and I told her, and she's like, just a second. Girls, come here, I want you to hear something. So the three, and I tell them again, and she's like, isn't that interesting? And I was like, as I'm in the middle of it, I'm like, you just think I'm funny and they're having me be weird to someone else for your own fun, huh? So for 20 years I lived with that, and then the Jason Crabb thing where I had the spittle coming out, guess who was the other guest? Point of Grace. 20 years. Yeah. And it's also where, I've got to tell you about that. I'll tell you about that later. Okay, so they introduced me on stage, and they were at the Point of Grace, and now I'm going back home with winning the grand prize. What are the odds of that? But I thought it was an accident, you know? Because I thought it was just talent that won that. People were saying that's where they started their ministries, was at Christian Artists. And I didn't want a ministry. I'm not a minister. And I thought it was just talent. And the thing is, though, I spilled water the first service. He told me right there, there's a stand up there with a water holder if you would like to use that. Yes. That's how that worked. I believed, though, when winning, I believed that God loved me. I just didn't think he could use me in ministry because I have a past. Professional sinner, lots of references. People saying, sorry, sir, but you're overqualified. I'm going to have to remember that, too. That's the thing with ADHD is you don't remember. I have 8-miniature tape recorders because I get ideas all the time. They call me in the industry, they call me TIG because nobody can remember Tori. Or they say Troy, whatever. But TIG stands for the idea guy because of my chronic ADHD. They fly me out to come up with creative ideas. And that's what I do. It's this ADHD. And that whole time I was alone in my cabin up there, I was filling notebook after notebook after notebook after notebook with ideas, but I didn't know what I was doing then. Now it all makes sense. I don't know why you just laughed right there, but okay. And then the judges were my friends, though, and they would write me letters. I mean, it was Jeanette Cliff George who played Corey Ten Boom in the movie The Hiding Place. Paul McCusker, one of the creators of Adventures in Odyssey. Martha Bolton, Mark Lowry's head writer and Bob's Hope's only female staff writer. Those people were these judges. And after winning and going back to my cabin in Alaska, it was a homestead, didn't even have a physical address, had to go into the post office once a week to get your mail. There would be a letter from one of those people, one of those important, shiny people, to me, Tree of Life. What do they see in me? And the next year, because I'd won that year, I won a free return trip, a free tuition, and the judges said, we think based on your letters writing back for us that you might be a writer. And I'm like, no, I just barely graduated high school. I had to take a night class with my mom. Did I tell you guys about that one? I had to take a night class with my mom in order to graduate because I had a D average, and I flunked this one class, so I wasn't going to graduate unless I made it up. So my mom enrolled me in Olympic College, and she said, not only are you making it up, but I'm taking that class with you, right next to you. And that's exactly what she sounds like. And the class that I had to make up, though, was psychology. And the one class you don't want to take with your mama is psychology. I kept turning to her going, you. This is all your fault. She's always going, I don't know what's wrong with you. Now you know. Then my prayer was, okay, I won the free trip, and I guess I can write that into that category, but I've never written anything. I don't write. I can't do math. I've never gotten beyond basic math. I don't do my own accounts. I don't know how to do a checkbook. I don't change my oil in my car. I don't... You would think I did calisthenics, but I don't. I don't do that stuff. Where am I? Help me. Help me. Just a second. I'm feeling really shy all of a sudden. I don't know. If I give in to it, I'm going to collapse. The competition. So I didn't think I would win anything writing because I wasn't a writer. So I made it really tough for God because that's what I like to do. If God wants to use me, he's got to prove it. I like to get little confirmations. And if you read my books, you see I do that a lot, and it drives Rob and other people really crazy. But I've got to know this God because I still can't believe that God wants to use me. I doubt it every day because I sin every day. So every day it comes into question again for me. And I asked him, I was saying in the YMCA, I said, God, if you really want to use me in spite of my past, and last year wasn't an accident, then you're going to let me win third place against all these international writers. Because I'd never written before. I thought that's about as hard as what are the odds of getting third place. I should also tell you, briefly, I'm just going to tell you what the three sketches were, because I only write about what I know and what I observe. I was at the Anchorage Mall, and there was an old lady who was a mall walker, but she was like a retired showgirl mall walker. She had the spandex, this was back 1986, fanny pack, the cassette player thing, what do you call those pink things, the birds? And flamingos. The birds from Florida, they're flamingos? Pink bird. On her thing, spandex, and she is walking a mile a minute. And out of her fanny pack, I'm sitting there, I came out of the bookstore, I'm sitting there on the bench. She walks right by me, takes this, you know what a chick track is like? Those little chick booklets, a witnessing track. As she's walking, she takes it out and she drops it just like this and keeps walking. And I'm like, I pick it up and I'm like, That was speed witnessing. And the lady does her full loop, and I'm sitting there, and as she's coming back, and she's wearing these huge earphones, she doesn't realize how loud she is. Over her earphones, she goes, "Did you read it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm already a Christian." And it was this fast she came back. This is the track in my hand. She snapped it right out of my hand. She goes, "Well, then pray for my corns, because they're killing me." And I thought it was the funniest thing. So I created this character named Granny Glockenspiel, mall missionary, who she believes every day is her job to find somebody sitting on a specific bench when she's exercising and witness to them. So that was one of them. Second one was I went to this televised church in Anchorage that brought Christian television in. And I'd watched it on TV several times. And I went there. I'm like, "I'm going to go to that church." This is before Pastor Aiken. I'm still looking for churches. I'm going to that TV church. I went there, and big, beautiful, and the usher, I was like walking straight in. He goes, "Hey, we got some seats for you upstairs." And I was like, "Oh, you'll see more from there. You'll be, oh, okay." So I go upstairs with him, and I get up in the balcony, and there's three other people and me. There's four of us. There's one guy with tattoos, because it was summer, tattoo sleeves. There was another guy who had put his, I saw when he came in, he had put his fishing pole in the lobby, and was just on his way down to go fishing, but I'm going to go to church first. With his fishing gear on. "I'll make you a fisher of fishers, but go to church. A fisher of men." And why am I talking to you? Oh, so I'm up in the, and then there was a lady who had an earring to a cheek piercing, like a little chain to her lip. It was like, loop, loop. I was like, "I can hang my little hand towels and dry them right there." But I'm looking around and I'm like, "What am I doing up here with all the weirdos?" And then I realized as service started, it was because they didn't want the television cameras to pick the four of us up. For all those viewers at home, "Oh, look at all the pretty Christians." Ah! And I was sitting there thinking, you know what? If all those years I had gone to church and learning right and wrong, if this was my first time at church and this is how I was treated, I'd never be back. That is so judgmental of them to do it based on my, it's just judgmental. And I got that little program and I got the pen I'm writing judgmental because I can't share it with. And I ran out right after the judge to shake it. Mental. It separated the words. Judgmental. I can create a character named Judgmental. And he could be in control of popular church opinion. But he won't have a jury because he can't get 12 people there to agree on nothing. And then that was judgmental. And then the third one was my niece. I just read Little Red Riding Hood and Three Little Pigs for back-to-back. And my niece goes, "Uncle Toto, why don't the big bad wolf just get saved?" And I was like, "What? That's a good idea. What would happen if the big bad wolf got saved?" And then I started thinking, ooh, I could use the big bad wolf to represent any sin I want to without being sin specific. What would people do if the big bad wolf got saved and decided to go to their church? Would they want him there? Would the tree of life want him there? As a part of their life? No. This particular church wasn't. Little Red Riding Hood had a hard time forgiving the past therapy expenses for the impersonating her grandma gig. The Three Little Pigs house insurance went through the roof after the destruction of their homes. And they run a housing conglomerate. So not wanting, and I realized also with the big bad wolf that I could use him to represent any sin I wanted. And we all have a big bad wolf sin. One sin that we think is worse than any others. Could be somebody who was adultery, had an affair, was in prison, homosexuality, prostitution, divorce, whatever. There's one thing that somebody calls the big bad wolf sin. And that makes them uncomfortable. So the three little pigs go to Parson Brown. They're like, "Look, if you're going to let the big bad wolf go to this church, me and my brother and my sister here, Paul and Mary, it's Peter, Paul and Mary, but they were named after the musicians, not the biblical characters. But we're going to take our tithe to another church, Parson Brown. So how do you feel about that?" And Parson Brown said, "Well, let me get the door for you. But know that you're always welcome back here. See, as the Bible tells us, as we forgive others, so are we forgiven. And if we don't forgive them, then we're forsaken." But the three little pigs left the church, and they became the title of the sketch, Forsaken Bacon. So I'm up there, and they call the winner for third place, which was my prayer, and they called my name. Never written before. Come down from the back crying, because I knew what it meant, because I was making it as hard for God as I thought I could, showing him. And I won third place. But it's third place isn't that big of a deal. Everybody else is like, wow, fat guy's real happy about third place. And then I started going back up after accepting the reward, and that's all I knew. And I'm processing, so you do want to use me. You really want to use me, and that's why I'm crying. I'm not crying because I won the award. It's a piece of trophy is going to burn. I'm crying because God just showed me that he wants to use me, no matter how hard I try to make it. I get halfway up, and they open the envelope. Everybody could enter three sketches, and they open the envelope for second place and call my name again. And I didn't pray that. And I turn around, and I walk down, and I accept it. But it was weird because I didn't pray that, so it felt like a mistake. And then I started to leave in Camp Floria. The president goes, you might as well stay here. And I went first, second, third, and the grand prize for those three sketches. And I was like, I get it. Isn't that a great God? Isn't that a good God? That he knew to place that old lady in that mall to inspire that sketch. And that he knows all those things before they even happen for us. And then a person in the conference who has a publishing company said, we really like these. Do you have enough of these to put in a book? And I go, a book is when you put them all together, right? And he goes, uh-huh. And the next thing you know, I'm a published author without alliteration, just boom, from a cabin. I've never written before. And then Paul McCusker said, we'd like to create a character for Adventures in Odyssey based on you. And I was like, well, I didn't understand. I was like, what would that be like? Because, oh my gosh, I almost went, I'm in here. What I meant was, I'm in here. So I'm normal. To me, I'm normal. What do you see? So what would that be like? And Paul goes, well, it would be a character who was bumbling, bizarre, gullible, and naive. When you hear yourself described like that for the first time by somebody you respect, it's a little overwhelming, you know? Because all through high school, I never got one compliment, but here Paul McCusker gave me four in a row. I don't deserve it. It was a beautiful moment. So he had me create the character of Wooten Bassett, who's a long-haired, redheaded. Thank you. The temptation is to put it back down there and clean my belly button. ADHD, you don't know what. You don't know. What was, and then Wooten Bassett. He's a long-haired, red-headed, overweight hippie from Alaska who moved to Odyssey. It just popped into my mind. And Bassett Hounds, this is one of my favorite episodes, is when Wooten lands at the Anchorage airport and comes back to see his family and everything. Again, I just want to go back and say, from a gentleman pastor in a church who took the time to talk to the overweight moose-dropping guy and his wife to teach me, if those two things had not occurred, none of the rest of this would. We were just waiting for someone to come and invite us to a church. You guys need to show up a little bit more. Ranger did it. But that's what everybody's looking for, is someone that they trust to invite them to church. Someone they respect to invite them to church. Someone that they see, witness, living the tree of life. Yeah, I'd like to go check out that church. That's what we're looking for, and we're counting on you guys to show up. But you know what? So many of you guys are ashamed of your faith. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to get bullied by the world. I don't want to be identified as a Christian. Heck, I was bullied every day of my life growing up. I faced more rejection than y'all will ever know. And as an actor, you face rejection on a daily basis. I was built to be a Christian. You know? Because we, Christians, are the biggest bullied people all around the world. We have to take it. We have to stand up, and we cannot be shy. That's part of being a Christian. Being persecuted is part of being a Christian. It makes you tough, makes you stronger. And it was a real decision for me because all I ever wanted to do was to be liked. Looking like this, thinking like this, nobody likes me. Adding Christian on top of it, oh no. Can't even control. Was this that tall? Okay. I think we need to wrap it up. It's 12 o'clock. Shall we wrap it up? Or, because I got a lot more to talk, but I'm going to save you guys. I will say, Pastor Aiken, when I was telling the stories that are in the book about the bear that I sprayed with pepper spray, the moose, you don't feed a moose through the window. If you go to get your camera real quick to take that really cute picture, they might stick their other antler through the window, and then they might get frustrated with having their antler stuck in the window. And then if you come back and he goes, that cute, the moose got his antler, I'm going to pet his nose. So the nose is the most sensitive part of a moose. You never want to touch their nose if their head is stuck through your window. Because they will go berserk and take your window frame with them. Boom. I don't know how I'm going to explain that one. And telling these stories to Pastor Aiken, Pastor Aiken said, Tori, I think if you just told these stories about your real life and applied spiritual lessons to them, God might really have something for you. But see, when I was in school, when I was in high school, I had these two teachers, one who said to me, because I wasn't a good student, what's the matter with you? Are you stupid or something? That's what it is. You're just stupid. And it was such a dismissive comment like that. It was said just like that, just flippantly. But it landed like an anchor. I'm stupid. I am stupid. She knows it. Everybody knows it. I'm stupid. And then I had another teacher who at the end of the semester, this was in high school, would always tell people what he expected of them at the end. Lance, I expect you to be a professional football player. Gail, you're going to be a... I expect you fully to be one of the best English teachers ever. You're just amazing at that. Tori, from you, I expect nothing. And it went on, and that was the, from you, I expect nothing. Boom. Dashed every dream and hope right then. Tree of knowledge. Teacher, good and bad according to the world, from what I see of you, I have no expectations. Tree of life, welcome. Wonder what God's going to do with you. How can I help shape that? How can I help guide that? How can I mentor? Very different world. And I was telling Pastor, I was like, Pastor, I don't think I'm supposed to just tell those stories because that's just being me, and I don't want to be me because I'm stupid. And Pastor Aiken said, well, yes. But you are very unique in your stupidity. Exact words spoken by Jack Aiken. And I took such comfort in them. I did. I'm like, I'm uniquely stupid. It's a gift. Well, then I started writing for, I don't want to tell you about the CCM. I can't. I've got to get you guys out of here. But I will tell you this. When it came time for us to leave, and I didn't want to leave Alaska. I never want to leave Alaska. I hate it. Have you been to Tennessee? Oh, good for you. What? Oh, good. I like Alaska. You're originally from Alaska?
Yeah.
Lucky. I'm originally from Washington State. Nice. What?
That's cool.
Yeah. Do you like my hair? Seriously, is it looking okay? Is it banging? Yeah. I woke up this morning, I looked in the mirror, and I was like, your hair is banging. Okay, so... part of winning the grand prize was you get this magazine called CCM, Contemporary Christian Music. There was this magazine article in it for the free issue that I got at my post office about Bob Reiner from Roaring Lambs. And he wrote this article about this new comedy college that was opening up in Sevierville, Tennessee. And I read that article and I was like, yeah, I just felt weird. I want to do that. I want to go to that comedy. Why? I don't want to go to that comedy college. I don't want to go there. Like, that's where you should go. Ugh. And then you had that little debate. And then I called Martha. Bob Hope's, because I had her number, she was one of my judges. I was like, Martha, did you read that magazine article about the comedy college? She goes, no, let me call you back. What are you talking about? And I gave her the information. She goes, oh, you used to write for a guy named Phil Glasgow in Texas. Whatever, it's the same guy. He's running a theater now? No, it can't be him. He didn't have that much. Hangs up. She calls him. Phil Glasgow had come into several million dollars and had opened and built a brand new theater right next to the Louise Mandeville Theater. And turns out it was the same guy. So she calls him. And he goes, oh, yeah, you wrote for Bob Hope. You know, I'm still looking for the director of our comedy college. I don't know why I didn't think of it, but you'd be perfect. Would you like to be the director of the comedy college, Martha? And she says, I would love to. And he goes, okay, the first thing you need to do is choose 10 students nationwide. And she goes, I've already got the first one. Let me call you back. So she calls me and she goes, Tori, I just accepted the job to be the director of that comedy college that you called about yesterday. And, and now I'm supposed to choose 10 students and I choose you. I'm like, that's weird. But then I wanted to move, but I didn't want to move, and I especially didn't want to move without Rob. Because I'm not good on by myself. You know what I mean? I think single men, Christian men, need to have accountability in their lives. I do. Nobody knows what I'm looking at on the internet, what I'm watching on TV, who I'm inviting into my house. If I don't have accountability, nobody knows. And that is too dangerous a place for me. Maybe not for you. But for me, and because I know what my weaknesses are, I have to put safeguards in order. I think that's smart, and I'm not ashamed, so blah-de-da. I didn't know if Rob was going to move, though, because I felt like God was calling me, but not Rob. But I didn't know if Rob was going to move. Then it was the next day, Mosler, his company, Rob was a high-rated tech. They only have certain ratings, and other place, if they lose their high-rated tech, they will try to replace it with a tech in the area. They were looking for someone with Rob's qualifications, contacted him here in Anchorage, Alaska, to come work in Knoxville, Tennessee, which was 22 miles from where that comedy college was. That was pretty cool. And then, I don't know if you guys know Tom and Claire Connolly, they're from the area, but we were living in their cabin for 3 years. We met them in the parks for the whole eight years there. Sometimes I just get nervous and I get caught in it, so forgive me. And then she said that her ex-husband was coming back, and while they liked him, they didn't want him to stay with them, so could they have the cabin back? All in the same week. All we needed was God to split up our backside, you know? So we went and talked to Pastor Aiken, and I got my first check from Adventures in Odyssey, $1,500. That's going to pay for the gas for our move. We had two vehicles, everything we owned in the entire world in the vehicle. Everything in the cabin was taken out of dumpsters behind the Walmart, behind the Costco. I was here for the grand opening of the very first Walmart. I was in that line overnight. When the Anchorage Daily News put that article out about the Walmart, the first Walmart opening, I still remember it. It said, not since the Pope visited Alaska has there been such a mass turnout. It's like, is that a Catholic joke? So we're leaving, and I say, okay, God, I don't like people. You know, I don't want to leave the cabin. I like being a hermit. If you're going to take care of our food, our shelter, and clothing, because those are three things you said you'll take care of, and I really like to eat, and 4X is a little more expensive than the other one, so you're going to have to provide. And I do not want another cabin with an assimilate. I didn't request that one. I want a flusher. Several years of the incident, when I went out to that thing, to the competition, I went straight into the bathroom and I turned on the sink and flushed the toilet. Flushed it again. Videotape for Rob. Look. So we're driving now. We've got everything. We're driving. And Rob goes, Pastor Dan, our associate pastor from Alaska, had just taken a job in Brookings, South Dakota. And Rob was friends with Pastor Dan, but Pastor Dan didn't know it, but he was the inspiration for Sam the Suit for the Savior doll. He was the square guy. I was the hairy, he didn't know it. So Rob calls from his radio to mine. He's like, hey, Pastor Dan lives right in this area. You want to stop and see him? From his CB. And I'm like, no, I don't like Pastor Dan. And then the alternator on the truck seized. Like that quick. I call Rob. Rob comes back. He's checking it and goes to the alternator. Pastor Dan doesn't live that far from here. I like Pastor Dan. So we stayed with Dan and Janelle for the next 3 days, and it was only in staying with them that I realized we love the same Jesus. We just have a different approach. And he was an amazing guy, and we had the best time. And I'm like going, 8 years I've missed out on this based on your appearance. Oh, I didn't do that to you. You. But not you. Never you. I did it to him. But so where was I? Oh, so the pup breaks down. And I'm like, Rob, we stay within 3 days. And I'm like, Rob, $1,500 is dwindling like that. We're paying for the alternator. Still have first and last month's rent when we get there. I'm like, Rob, we've got to take Dan and Janelle to dinner because that's what fancy people do when they stay with other people for 3 days. They take them out to dinner as a thank you. And Rob goes, well, we're not fancy people. And I'm like, well, we're going to be tonight. We need to take them out. I don't care how much money it takes out. We're saying thank you because they were a tree of life for us. So Rob is talking to the mechanic, trying to save money, and he's like, what's the best restaurant around here? And she goes, it's a restaurant, or the mechanic said, it's a restaurant called the Rams Pub. It's the best restaurant in Brookings, South Dakota. In fact, it used to be a bank 27 years ago. In fact, there's a big safe that they couldn't move out of this bank. It's sitting right in the middle of the room, and if anybody can get it open, they win dinner for four. What, and Rob goes, what are the rules on the drilling? She goes, well, you can't blast it open and you can't drill it open. He goes, well, that's no fun. And then we walked in to go try, just to try. We walked into this huge safe. Rob looks at it. He spins the wheel. I think it's already open. What do you mean it's already open? It's already open. I don't think they know that there's a handle that goes in there. A handle? He walks out, gets his wrench out of his car, comes back in, and goes, boom. They had set, when they bought the restaurant, the bank had set the combination and open, but didn't tell them where they put the handle. They didn't know there was a handle, so for 27 years, this safe sat there, waiting for us to come by. And open it. So Rob, 5 minutes open. He goes in and tell her, okay, what do you get for dinner for four? And he goes, okay, it's open. She's like, no, it isn't. It's like, yeah, I just opened it. It's open in there. No, it isn't. And the second time she said, the other waitress just walked by her and went in and checked, and she came running back and she goes, the safe is open. The newspaper, the radio, the television, it was the biggest news in Brookings, South Dakota. 27 years, the safe is open. And Rob, who led me to the Lord, is using it as a story when he's talking to the news about how some people just think that the combination opening the heart for Jesus is so complicated they'll never get it. But it's already open. All God is waiting for you to, Jesus is waiting for you to do is open it up to him. Just open it up. And I just thought he was so brilliant. So that's when God took care of our clothing. No, that was our food, shelter. Did I tell you shelter? Oh, it was food and clothing. This is the last one that we're going to go. Shelter. Did I tell you about, what did I do? I don't remember what I did the first service. Did I tell them food, which is this, shelter, that comes next, shelter and clothing. So we land in Knoxville and we're living with my cousin who was living with her live-in boyfriend and wasn't a Christian. They're fighting every day. You know how awkward that is to be in a house where that's happening? Back in the back bedroom with Rob, praying, because we're going out to look for houses again. We couldn't find anywhere, and I'm praying in the back room, like, Father God, if you love us, please let us find a house today. If you love us, please let us just get a house today. I don't want to be here anymore. It's awkward. So, if you love us. And Rob, right then, in the middle of my prayer, because that's what a spiritual mentor does, anytime they have an opportunity to correct a baby Christian, they'll do it. It doesn't matter if in the middle of prayer or not. It makes them feel better. And in the middle of prayer, Bob stops and goes, Tori, that's not how you pray. It's never a question of if God loves us. You see, God loves us. And I'm like, first of all, not talking to you. Second of all, he's a big God. He can figure it out. If you love us, you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. And Rob scowls. We leave. Drive all half the day. Can't find a place. Rob makes a wrong turn by White County Fairgrounds. And as he's turning, I see a guy up the street putting up a sign. Either a new yard sale or it's a rental. I'm like, Rob, that's a yard sale. Go back there. Go back there. So we had to turn around again. And we go back there. And it was a for-rent sign for a two-bedroom house located on 222 Love Road. You think I didn't rub that in Rob's face? I'm like, Love Road. And then he goes, you and your signs. And then the next time he felt like we were going to move. Whenever one of us feels something like that, we're like, okay. We don't stop questioning anything. We're like, we'll see. You'll either embarrass yourself and it's not right, or you're fine-tuning the Holy Spirit. You've got to risk embarrassing yourself, or you're not going to be able to find him the voice. Sometimes it's you. Sounds like him, but it isn't. Rob, what is that talking about, Rob? Oh, closing. Last thing. He's bored now. So I'm at the Comedy College. I'm now performing, and the casual male big and tall clothing people come in, and they're like, you know what? We're looking for big men to be our models. Would you be interested in modeling for casual male? They'll give you free clothing. And I was like, I always thought I was a model. Blow my face, just like Fabio. And now when I do something stupid, I've got an excuse. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be smart. Model. So all this, we're going to wrap it up. I just, right now, those books are available out there. They tell my whole journey, and I only write about the things I experience. Coming from that remote cabin with an insulinate toilet and a dream and a goal from God, I want you to become an actor and a screenwriter, and you're like going, nah. You feel like you are just nuts living in a remote cabin with dreams like that going on in your head with them sitting, walking 800 yards just to get into the cabin down a trail. It doesn't seem God-worthy, but just like the song you guys sang this morning, you split the Red Sea and I walked right through it. You know? That's right. Want to see me split the Red Sea? I just thought of that. I'm not going to bother you with that. We want to go home. All I want to say is if God has called you to do something, and even if that something is acting like a tree of life and reaching out to somebody who doesn't exactly look like the tree of life sort, if God is calling you to do that, you need to do it. You need to step out in faith for your own ministry. Don't let your past stop you, because that has nothing to do with anything. Don't hold your gifts and talents back, because God needs to use them. And if you do hold them back, he will use someone else. He has messages he wants delivered. He's just looking for yes people. And if you won't say yes, he'll talk to the next person who will. It'll come out a little different, but the main theme is going to be there. See, the character of Wooten Bassett, Paul McCusker, Wooten Bassett is the name of an actual city in England that Paul was over there and he drove through it. And he wrote down that name 20-something years ago and said, Wooten Bassett, that sounds like a name for a character. One day, I want to use that somewhere. I don't know who that would be. That name waited for me until I created Wooten Bassett. And if I wouldn't have, I know God would have brought somebody else who would have. It's just looking for a yes. You'll never know what you're missing in life if you don't take a chance. If I hadn't stepped out to follow my own passion, and with the support of my church, I wouldn't have Wooten Bassett, my books, ministry. Someone else would have done all of it. God would have used them. Each one of us has a special work to do in the kingdom of God, and I encourage all of you guys to step out and find your work of service. Accept the gift of God in your life, and then live out your gift of service in the community. Because when you live out your gift of service in the community, that's when you reach people like me. I'm in the community looking for you. But I don't know that's what I'm looking for yet. In conclusion, I just want to say that our lives may seem, even like right now, like it's a great big puzzle. But the pieces will fit together to make a whole when you combine your spiritual gifts, your personality, your passions, and your experience. When you combine those four things, you will discover a picture which shows us how you can best serve the Lord with maximum effectiveness. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you.